WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Hey, I heard you were a wild one. Ooh, if I took you home and be a woman, show me how you do. I wanna shut down in the club with you.
Pumping music, I might lose it. Glass to the roof, how we lose it. I don't care tonight, she don't care. We like almost there, the right vibe. Ready to get live, ain't no surprise. Take me so high, jumping those dives, surfing the crowd. Then I gotta be the man.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTLive. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Sock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy your anime, because anime, hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern...
Oh, anime is very interesting in Fortnite right now, let me tell you. Oh. I got some wins with waterbending, I can tell you that, but dear God, can you snipe with that thing? Earthbending is awful. I don't know why. And airbending is also awful. I don't know why people use it.
Hashtag epic partner. Anyway. We have Keishi Matsunaga is here.
Everything was fine until the day the Anime Nation attacked.
It started with a Kamehame, and now we're here. And then there's Tim Stein, who has no idea what we're talking about.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night with the little pointer anime is not the haunted doll from the movie The Conjuring.
Anyway,
we're here to talk about pizza.
Yes.
It's the Sunday Night Pizza Chat.
Woo!
So I bought some pizza.
Uh-huh.
And it was good.
Well done.
Wow. Anyway, we're not here to talk about pizza. That's okay. Anyway, we have opinions
don't
tonight.
Let me stop you.
We have wrestling opinions to talk about here tonight. Brent has comments he's going to make. And so much more. But before we get to all that, we're gonna start with the lighter stuff, and then we'll let Brent just sort of
rant
as we finish off the show. It was announced.
I like talking about positive things also. So yeah, let's start with this.
We're going to start with the positive. It was announced on Raw that later this month, on April 26th and 29th, the WWE draft is going to be happening. Now you're asking yourselves, why are they talking about the draft when it's like 2 weeks away? One, for a programming note, we're not live next week because there's an AEW pay-per-view, and the three of the four of us are going to be watching it to cover it the next day. So,
all right.
Yes. Nine matches already, probably three or four to come, and 5 hours on Sunday we need to get through.
Yes. So we're going to do that. That's your programming notes. That's why we're talking about the draft. I gave them a simple question, and they each have the answers to give. The simple question is, which one superstar from each brand deserves to, like, you know, trade places and move to another brand? And we're going to start with Keishi.
Deserves or should?
Should, deserves, should. Either one.
Okay. So surprisingly, if you look through the rosters on the WWE website, SmackDown is using quite a bit of their wrestlers that they have listed as officially on the SmackDown roster, with exception of one that I saw that I think moving to one of the other brands, whether it be Raw or even NXT, may benefit them more as to giving them maybe more ring time, screen time, / they don't do anything with them anyway, and that is Cameron Grimes. I think he... we saw him this Friday on SmackDown getting decimated by Bron Breakker, but I don't know, he had such a good NXT run just to get called up and like kind of just forgotten about. I think he would benefit from a move for sure.
Yeah, but where to?
If you kind of look at the track record, I would almost put him back down in NXT for a while just to give him some momentum. Okay. I think he would get lost in the shuffle in Raw. There's so much going on in Raw. And I mean, there's lots clearly going on in SmackDown, because like I say, if you scroll through the roster, they're using a vast amount of people that are listed as official SmackDown roster members, with exception of a handful of guys. So I think if you bump him down to NXT, you could pair him with someone, give him a little bit of a bump. You can, kind of like they did with Baron Corbin, he could probably run his own thing and maybe get a little bit more hype behind him and then bring him back. But yeah, I think he would benefit. He would benefit from a move somewhere for
okay.
sure.
Who else?
Looking at Raw was huge. They're using a bunch of people on Raw as well. I kind of had a couple just because there were different reasons for them.
Okay.
So if you look at maybe for the same reason that I wanted to move Cameron Grimes, you could pick Dexter Lumis because he has not been seen for almost a year.
At least.
Yeah. The other one that would be more of a bigger deal, I think, would be to move Gunther to SmackDown. And I say that because as the Intercontinental Champion, he kind of ran through a large portion of this roster. And I mean, I don't like whether they move him by himself or whether they move Imperium together. I think he would benefit from a little bit of new competition to kind of get his momentum back in the swing of things. That was the big one for me for Raw.
Yeah.
If he stayed and kind of went after Damian, like it doesn't make sense for him to go after Damian. So put him on SmackDown, heat him up a little bit, and then maybe have him go after Cody.
Okay. And what about from NXT?
NXT was kind of tough. I was kind of looking through, and there are a couple guys have been moved down there. So you look at those guys and you're like, well, some of these guys have just moved down. There are people who are kind of being brought up. You saw a couple of teases this week with Dragunov and Roxanne Perez. I don't think we're going to move them. I think those are just one-offs because they had the titles. Carmelo Hayes is still listed as NXT, but I feel like he's sort of already part of SmackDown. I don't know if that's... So, I mean, it just kind of felt like a softball to kind of use him. I was kind of thinking if they brought up JC Jane, because I think she still has quite a bit of momentum with the stuff with Chase U, and she's been doing a lot of good stuff even since Mandy left and they broke up Toxic Attraction. She seems to be the one of the two between her and Gigi Dolan that they're kind of behind. And so I think if they brought her up to Raw or SmackDown, I don't know if it really matters which one. I think she'd do well.
Okay. Tim, what about you?
If you're looking at take a look at SmackDown, somebody I would like to see move from SmackDown, basically just to fill the void that is going to be there with Cody's title win. I'd like to see Braun get put on the Monday show.
Braun Breakker.
He could take over the monster baby face role.
Okay.
And I think that would not be a bad idea at all. He could be the next big momentum, if you will. And eventually, it would be interesting to see him in a program with Damian Priest. Because I think that those two would pull off a series of very highly entertaining matches.
Okay, that's your SmackDown move. What about your NXT move?
NXT, to tell you the honest truth, I really don't know. I've never looked at NXT as the third brand. I've always looked at it as the minor league.
Okay.
Right? And as far as moving somebody from NXT, that's like a call-up to me. I really I'm having a hard time disagreeing with Casey, to tell you the truth, with his thoughts.
Then give me Raw.
Moving off Raw onto SmackDown, again, I'm agreeing with Casey. Gunther has basically been fed just about everybody he could be fed on the Raw roster. And a couple years ago, we saw one hell of a one-on-one match at the end of the Royal Rumble during the Men's Rumble between Cody and Gunther. And we were talking about that for over a year. God, why I want to see those two in a program for the big title. And moving Gunther over there, heating him up, and have him start chasing the title by next fall. I'm just making the assumption that the big title match is going to be Cody and The Rock at SummerSlam. And I don't think I'm in the minority with that one. So let them have that. Let that play out. And then push towards the Gunther-Cody match at WrestleMania next year.
Okay. All right, Brent, who do you have moving around?
All right. First from SmackDown. I don't know if he's injured, but I personally want to see him get away from the Latin American contingent that is all on SmackDown right now. I'd move Dragon Lee, because even though he's associated with it, I think you've got, like, you've already got the LWO. You've got Santos's group, you know, Legado out there. They're going to have their big faction war and breakdown eventually with, you know, Carlito jumping ship and all that. I think Dragon Lee, if he's there, just gets enveloped by it, and he's just another guy in amongst the mix. If you put him over onto Raw, he can work with some people like Chad Gable, like Akira Tozawa. I would say put him with, you know, Ivar, but Ivar looks like he's going down to NXT for a little bit. But even, you know, if you keep Imperium over on Raw, you've got Kaiser and Vinci that you could have him with. It to me, it frees him up for a little bit more, and it kind of gets him to be able to put his legs under him rather than being just another guy in the LWO Legato War. So that's who I'd move from SmackDown. From Raw, Gunther is a good choice, because if you move him, I mean, the three group of Final Testament looks like they've made their way to NXT at least briefly, so you might need someone for Bobby to face. But I wanted to go in a different direction. I had two people that I wanted to move from Raw.
Okay.
I'd put Shinsuke on NXT. He dabbled in there before, but some of his best times were down in NXT, and I think he could work with some of the people down there, like Trick Williams and, you know, some of the up-and-comers, and it would give him some chance to be featured a bit more, because even though on Raw he got that chance of, like, you know, when he was facing Cody, when he was facing Seth, he was just a filler.
Yeah.
Let him be, you know, like, for lack of a better term, you know, a boss down in NXT that people have to try and defeat.
Yeah.
And then the other person I'd move from Raw, Nikki Cross, because she's not really doing anything on Raw. Maybe a move to SmackDown would be beneficial for her in that women's division.
Okay.
And in terms of NXT, I mean, the easiest choice of all is to say Carmelo Hayes, but we're not going to go that route. This one's tough. I don't know necessarily who's ready yet from the rest of the... I mean, I don't think Drew Gulak is long for the world there in NXT or in the WWE in general.
That's a story we're not talking about. Anyway.
No, we're not going to talk about it, but I'm just saying. honestly, I think it's going to be Ilya to Raw, and you can do something like, you could make the next champion of Raw someone like Dijak. give him a bit of a reward for the work that he's been doing. And the fact that, I mean, he was essentially dead to rights on the main roster. He went back down to NXT, and at least he's doing a little bit of something there. He's looking better than he was. Mm-hmm. So I'd move. I would pull the trigger and move Ilya, because if you wanted to, you could spark the feud with him and Gunther to show people what that was really like, you know, when they had the match before, but this time put it in front of the large audience.
Okay. All right. So those are your moves.
How about you?
I'm not the host. I'm just the host on this one. We're not doing moves.
Do we get to hear yours on Thursday?
Not a chance. We're not talking to but we have a civil war that's brewing on SmackDown in the Bloodline.
Tama finally showed up.
The brand new members show up, and it looks like there is a new tribal chief now that Roman Reigns has disappeared. What do we think of what happened on Friday?
My question is he the tribal chief, or is he acting on orders of someone?
That's a good question.
Because when we saw Solo, you know, Paul was out there giving the oratory of what happened. And one of the interesting things that was said and put as an example for all of this was essentially like, if you lost at WrestleMania, there needs to be atonement. And if we remember, two people lost at WrestleMania. It was Jimmy, and we all saw what happened to Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Roman lost.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about the tribal chief, but who won at WrestleMania?
Ooh.
Someone got a win in the tag match. And so what he could do is they could be essentially like, Roman, you lost. Dwayne's been pulling the kind of doing almost like a Dakota in the damage control role, pulling the strings behind the scenes. And now it's like Roman's lost and Dwayne has the chance of, you know, taking the throne, essentially. So what does he do? He uses Solo to be the henchman while Roman's gone. They bring in Tama. There's someone else that got signed recently that's sitting in the wings that we'll probably see maybe at Backlash or some other time. And you're starting to kind of form up this new version of the Bloodline. And do we get kind of new Bloodline versus old Bloodline in a sense? Does Jimmy come out, or does Jay come out and save his brother? Because it's that thing of like, he got his ass whipped, but you know, it's still blood, and I gotta protect mine.
Yeah.
So when I saw that kind of go down, and when I saw, you know, Solo grab the phone from Paul and stomp on it and like, no, you're not calling Roman, that's what set up a red flag for me, because it's like, if he made the call on this, then what's the big deal about Paul calling him? If it's Solo being like, you know, we're leaving, that's showing that there's some stuff going on that maybe Roman doesn't know about that we'll see play out.
I mean, possible. What do you think, Kesh?
I didn't think so much about the Rock pulling the strings thing from wherever he is right now, but I agree with everything else. I like the direction they're going. I like that they brought in someone else, and now it's like seemingly Solo is kind of running the show. Which makes sense in a way, because Roman basically announced him as the next tribal chief over Jimmy. So even if there isn't a Rock pulling the strings thing, Solo can come back and be like, I'm next in line. Roman lost. It's my show now. So then you understand him bringing in all these other guys like Tama. And if they bring in other people, I know there's been rumblings of Jacob Fatu, who was also part of the Samoan dynasty. So bringing in fresh blood, because, you know, Solo wants to change things up and run things his way, will make sense. It's a nice way of furthering the Bloodline storyline without, and it freshens it up. So then you don't have the same sort of Roman's in charge. Jimmy's kind of a henchman, but like in the comedic way. Solo's the muscle. Paul Heyman played his part perfectly about being shocked, scared, all of the things, confused. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll see where it goes next week. I thought everybody did everything perfectly as far as like keeping that going and furthering it along, but also like kind of dropping it down into not something that's main event, but will still keep people's interest.
What do you think, Tim?
I'm looking at this whole thing as a long game, setting up Roman versus Rock, really. Right now, until it's revealed, it could be Rock taking over the head of the table. it was mentioned before WrestleMania. You know, he brought it up, you know, talking to him, maybe I should be at the head of the table. And at one point in time, they had to scramble and change plans for WrestleMania because the fans weren't accepting Rock versus Roman because they figured, you know, Cody earned the title shot, so he should take it. It played out properly. Could lead to maybe a night one main event, Rock versus Roman next year, unless they decide to pull the trigger a little bit earlier.
So you guys wouldn't have Solo as the leader of this bloodline?
I'd be fine with it. Like I said, you know, Roman did name him as the successor to the head of the table. So even if that's the direction that they go and Rock isn't actually pulling the strings and it's all Solo because he's like, I was named next in line. Roman lost. It's my tribe now. Makes sense.
Because, Tim, you mentioned Rock Roman is the long game. But what if it's not the long game? What if Rock Cody is the long game and Roman Solo is the long game?
I mean, from a numbers game, that works.
It could work. I just feel they're going to pull the trigger on Rock Cody sooner rather than later. Because in my mind, they're picturing Rock Roman being a bigger thing than Rock Cody. And that's not to take anything away from The Rock or anything away from Cody. They started working towards this match a few months ago and building it up huge as a family thing. And this bloodline storyline is going for, what, 4 years now?
Yeah.
Pretty much, right? And they always find something different. They always come up with something new to keep it from getting stale enough to shelf. The thing is still making money.
Clearly. But you know how they've adjusted and you know how The Rock sees dollar signs. I think with all the momentum they build, Rock Cody is probably the direction, at least probably he would want when he sees dollar signs.
Well, again, SummerSlam is the second biggest bunch of dollar signs WWE has.
Well, schedule-wise, I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, Rock's going to be a little busy.
He's filming for a majority of this year. So I don't think early August for SummerSlam is going to work since he had to take 12 weeks for Mania. Just call it a hunch.
And I want to say, like, when it comes to The Rock, as we've seen, when it comes to Mania, he wants a long build. He wants something that can let simmer for a year. So, Rock Cody being next Mania, okay, sure. And if you want to do Roman versus Solo, I mean, Keish, in New Japan, they do kind of like veterans versus young lions kind of thing, don't they?
Yep. So, like, they'll have batches of quote-unquote dojo graduates, and they basically have no gimmick. They wrestle in black trunks. They don't do anything, and they'll team them up with veterans. They'll team them up against veterans, and that's before they kind of go off to do excursion and find a gimmick and find a style and come back.
So what if, as Rock kind of implied and as we've kind of talked about between the three of us, what if it's old bloodline versus new bloodline? If you have Roman and, let's say, the Usos, Roman turns face because they seem to be slightly possibly going that way with, like, the biography and some other stuff. Jimmy has been kind of excommunicated from the bloodline. Jay was fully excommunicated from the bloodline.
But no, he wasn't excommunicated. He left.
I think it was half and half.
Fair enough. I'll give you that.
But I think you still give Jay the chance to be main event because he's earned that right with his singles work. I hate to say it, I think Jimmy's a little bit more weaker on the singles side. Jay was able to establish himself a bit more, but you can build to the eventual, like, six man of Roman and the Usos, who have all, I mean, the whole story has been they kind of grew up together. It was the three of them doing things. And then you've got Solo, you know, the younger brother of it all, and then the two guys that they, you know, that are still part of the bloodline, but that have been brought in, Tama and, we'll say, Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have that kind of old, you know, the old established Bloodline versus the Young Lions, who are trying to make their name, stake their claim, and kind of take over that dynasty of like, okay, yeah, you guys had your run. It's our turn to make our name and carry the family forward, which would be an interesting story amongst all of that.
Yeah,
it could be.
And you have Paul in the middle going, what the hell do I do? Which is a great position for him.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you can even draw that out long enough where you have Jimmy and Roman kind of going after Solo and Tama and kind of getting close. Then all of a sudden, if you wanted to bring him in later and have Jacob come in and be like, nah, sorry, you guys thought you had it, but you didn't. To a point where they build up to some one of the big four, whether it be Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, probably not Mania, because I think you break that up into something else. But then you go, okay, I guess we got to find somebody. And then you have that big surprise of Jay still being on a separate brand, but coming over to help the family. And I think that would, you would still keep Jay in his main event status, which, like you say, he deserves. But then that's a big pop when they kind of bring the quote unquote OG bloodline back together. You don't do it soon, you kind of draw it out, and I think you get a bigger response from the crowd.
I mean, we've seen the fact that, like, you can bring the three people together to form the trio and still keep them kind of all strong individually, or, you know, you don't have to rely on the trio, because we've seen it with the New Day when, you know, they split off Big E, and he would still kind of do some stuff with the New Day, but it was almost always like, you know, Xavier, Kofi, you guys kind of have the tag stuff, I'm going to go do this. And then Kofi had his moment to shine as a single, and then Xavier got his chance at King of the Ring.
Yeah.
So you can still keep them all independently moving in a direction, but when, you know, the time comes, it's like, all right, family up, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that works.
Well, we'll see what happens as the civil war in the bloodline sort of begins, as it were. Switching gears now, Brent. This past Wednesday on Dynamite, we got to see the footage of All In backstage that allowed Tony Khan to basically fire, or as Punk said, quit AEW, allowing the return of CM Punk to WWE, and clearly proving that CM Punk is still the biggest star in AEW. as they used him for ratings. Uh-huh. So, yeah, what do you think? What's your thoughts? What's your opinions?
All right, I'm gonna say some stuff. Casey and Tim, you know, feel free to jump in after, but like I know I say a lot of things that are very like focused on AEW in a certain aspect, and the reason I'm doing that is because I truthfully want, you know, AEW to be around, because things overall in wrestling have gotten better with a viable group that is pushing WWE.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it with TNA back in the day.
Yep.
When TNA was, you know, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and they were putting on bangers of stuff, you know, before they went all, we're going to purchase as many former WWE guys as we can and WCW guys as we can. When they were doing that kind of stuff, it was one of those things where WWE had to kind of go, shit, they're sitting right out there. They're doing some things. We might need to kind of focus up a little bit. And it made it a destination for some people, you know, like a Christian Cage, a Kurt Angle, where if they needed to leave WWE or if they wanted a change of scenery, they had somewhere to go. And it helps the overall market. When I say some things about AEW, it's because I want them to improve. And because for 4 years, they have done things that have, in my opinion, stymied their growth in a big way. We've seen some things on Dynamite that have proven that. Hell, hey Rock, that interview segment with Mercedes Moné, to put it mildly, it looked like it was shot by a 7th grade AV club, correct?
Yeah.
Because they would have Alex Marvez, like, interview her, but he's looking directly at the camera, not at his interview subject. And he'd ask a question, the camera's fully pulled out, and then when they go to Mercedes, she's talking, and they're actively zooming in on her as she's answering, and then they quickly pull very back out for the next question.
That was multiple times during the night, by the way.
Yeah, there was stuff like that. There's stuff on camera. Like, I'll touch on it when I'm talking about the actual thing, but, like, Tony's reaction and Renee's reaction to segments that they were in, where you can tell they were just very uncomfortable and like, oh my god, why are you saying this? And yet they're like fully on camera for that kind of thing. This is stuff that a four-year company should not be doing anymore. And in doing that, it kind of shows, like, for lack of a better summation, they're proving CM Punk right in what he said and what his biggest problem with AEW was. They've got people from WWE with backgrounds in television production, in writing, in all of these different things. You know, they have people in the industry that have been around, and it seems like they're not listening to them. It's like, we're going to do things our way, which is fine. But when it really makes you look like a four-year-old company, or I'm sorry, like a two-year-old company, that's a problem. And that was Punk's biggest thing of like, I tried to offer help to people and they wouldn't listen. Adam Page is one of the examples that he gave. And the fact that, you know, Adam Page went into business for himself in a promo in front of a live crowd. And Punk's like, I don't know what you're saying, but I have to try and respond in real time to this when I can't hear you. Fantastic. So during WrestleMania, after CM Punk gave his interview on Ariel Helwani, where he outlined what the issues were with AEW, why he left, what happened really behind the scenes. And with it, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he didn't fully want to talk about it. Ariel was like kind of pushing the issue, and he's like, all right, fine, we'll talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
During WrestleMania weekend, you could tell AEW is like, oh, well, we have to kind of counter this because everyone was talking about the Punk interview. Everyone was talking about what happened. And yeah. So their response was going to be, we're going to release the footage of what happened at All In. We're gonna show the smoking gun. And Brock, Lindsay, and I heard that announcement, and the three of us in our text chat with one another basically all came to an agreement. There's no benefit for this. Nothing. No good is going to come from this, because either A, the footage is going to show exactly what CM Punk said happened, and all you've done is validate everything he's just said, or B, it is much worse than what was led on to believe, and either A, you're going to look bad for airing all of that, or B, you're simply using it for a ratings grab, which everyone knew it was. And then there was the C option that was out there that people talked about, of this was going to be a bait and switch, and like the Young Bucks were going to either like do a dramatic reenactment or something along those lines. If they did that, that would have killed them instantly.
Yeah.
But they go out and they show the footage. And I mean, for all intents and purposes, it is exactly what CM Punk said happened. Perry walks up to him. Punk says some words. Perry's responding. The biggest problem is it's closed circuit footage with no audio. It's just, you kind of see people doing stuff. You can't hear anything. You don't know what sparks all of this. But ultimately, CM Punk kind of gives a shove to Jack and then basically puts him in a front headlock. Joe separates him. Punk turns towards someone at the monitors and like very, I would say, like lightly lunges in to express some stuff and then storms off. You did this all for a ratings ploy, and all it got you was 819,000 views. Your biggest lead-in for your show, or your biggest quarter for your show, was the lead-in from the Big Bang Theory. You had a slight spike from this, and then the rest of your show was a steady decline down. This did nothing for you. And I would argue hurt you more than anything, because now, as much as it's, oh, we're going to build this, you spent your next promo burying the segment you just did with FTR when they came out and were just like, we don't know why the fuck they even showed this. Why? Why are we doing this? This has been, this happened months ago. We should, you know, we've all moved on. Why are you showing this? It's almost like they just anticipated the audience's response, put FTR out there and said it. And now you still have a week before your pay-per-view. And I don't know about you guys, I don't care any more about FTR and the Young Bucks than I did before they did this segment. Was it going to be a decent match between the two, or between the four of them? Yes, because this is the fourth time, and every time they performed, sure, it's been a good match. But this does nothing to help your pay-per-view, your build for that match. It was simply something to try and spike a rating, because the last couple of weeks you've been sitting below... you've been sitting at like 770,000 people. watching your product with your big signees. You throw this out there, which if you were honestly going to show this, it should have been done at the time you announced Phil leaving. Because if you had done that before Phil had made his statement of what happened, people could have watched that and been like, oh yeah, you were justified in getting rid of CM Punk. But now he's established himself elsewhere, and it just looks like you're bitter about the fact that he went to another company and that he enjoys what he's doing there. But there was no point in doing this. You come across looking very petty. And honestly, this next week is going to be very telling for them, because if this shoots back under 800,000 rating for them, then they've got some serious problems, because they don't really have anything to drive a rating anymore. They don't have any more, you know, special signees that they can announce. They don't have, you know, mysterious footage that they can release. And you've already said that, you know, Mercedes Moné isn't going to wrestle for you until Double or Nothing, which is months away. Your biggest signee that you've had that you want people to tune in to see, you basically told them, yeah, you don't need to worry about it for at least a month to 6 weeks, because that's the first time she's going to be in the ring. This is why AEW frustrates me, because they do things like this, and while they should be taking steps forward, they're like taking a step forward and like a step and a half back, or two steps back, and then they're having to try and fight their way forward again. And through all of this, you know, WWE came off probably one of their biggest pay-per-views, you know, of recent history, if not, you know, one of the top five manias I think I've heard people talk about. And they're just kind of rolling. Even though they did have some injuries that kind of set back their Mania card, you still have, you know, CM Punk and Drew building to something. You've got Cody out there being the face of your company. You don't have to rely on Roman, which is what a lot of people complained about. Oh, he's never there. And then you've got these young, you know, you've got Gunther still sitting there waiting for his next feud to start. You've got Bron Breakker, who looks like an animal that they've just called up. They're trending in a direction that everyone wanted them to, and it looks like AEW's trending in a way that they're not, that they really don't need to. And it's just frustrating, because I don't want it to be, you know, a year from now we look and we're just like, they had a, you know, they were there, they had a chance, and now they're just kind of there.
I have a simple question for Keishi.
Ooh.
Did the backstage footage add, and their reasoning behind it, add any hype and interest for you into the ladder match a week from today?
No.
I think that's the biggest. I think that's the biggest problem. It didn't do anything, and them having to go out there and explain that, hey, we were distracted by this moment, that's why we lost last time, I don't know, didn't really help the build for a match that was already put together because they won a tournament.
Yeah, well, I mean, from how I look at it, from how I've seen it, even before the footage came out, when they announced that tournament and they showed the brackets, and I was talking to my kid about this because we always watch Dynamite together. And I mean, you know, so he has no opinions about ratings or segments like that or whatever. But I was just like, all right, here's how it's going to go. This bracket's going to go like this. This side's going to go like this. And it's going to be the Young Bucks and FTR in the finals, which lo and behold, it was the Young Bucks and FTR in the finals. So, I mean, it gets, having the tournament gives them an easy way to put the Young Bucks and FTR together for another match, which I will never complain about that. They have good matches. They've had good matches. I expect the match to be good. And I guess they did need to do a few things to kind of build it up and try and get hype for it. But even if they didn't, I'd have been like, all right, well, it's Young Bucks versus FTR. It's going to be a good match. I think they could have. And I mean, if you look at the characters of the Young Bucks are kind of portraying, they're, you know, their noses are turned up. They act like they're better than everybody. Those two personas, I can see them using that as a quote unquote, what they would believe is a solid excuse as to why they lost that match while still looking like super petty and really garbage characters. But I think there are other ways they could have done that without dropping that footage. Now, my perspective from what I saw it, it didn't look like, just from the body language that I saw from Jack Perry, it didn't look like he was combative. So I don't know if Punk was super justified in attacking the way he did. But at the same time, the way that he kind of laid it out, I wouldn't be surprised if the words were exchanged caused him to attack. But at the same time, I don't think they needed to show that. I don't think it did anything for anybody. except for maybe Jack Perry, because he ended up selling a bunch of his shirts. And I think it actually kind of did a little bit to boost him up a bit in the fact that, like I said, his mannerisms didn't look combative. And it kind of looked like Punk just was kind of angry and sort of attacked him. So I suppose it worked well for Jack. But Jack's not on AEW right now. So
and
not,
if,
like,
if he doesn't show up in next 4 weeks, it makes no difference.
Yeah, well, unless he shows up at the pay-per-view and helps FTR, which...
That's the only reason it'll work, or helps the Young Bucks, either one.
Yeah, well, or sorry, that's what I meant, help the Young Bucks. But, like, then showing that doesn't do anything. And even then, there was no guarantee that... There was no guarantee that that was going to help Jack Perry in any way. So they were taking a real big risk, and I think bringing him back for that pay-per-view is the only thing that they can do to kind of save face from dropping that. Because personally, and I mean, as someone who doesn't really care about dirt sheets and interviews and people taking shots at other wrestling companies when I think they shouldn't, they should just, wrestling companies should just focus on themselves and not what anybody else is doing. Because when you try and do things in a reactionary manner, all it does is hurt yourself. But they were lucky in the fact that it did something for Jack Perry. And if they don't take advantage of that, then I think they'll have lost twice with the same footage.
Now, I have a question for you, Casey.
Okay.
Showing this footage, and like you said, you're trying to help Jack Perry with all of this, it is what it now seems like, correct?
I don't think they were trying to.
But it's something that comes from it.
It just happened to be, like, it's the best case scenario from it.
Okay. Will Perry be a face or a heel?
I think, well... Depending on how it goes, because, like, right now in New Japan, he's a heel. He's part of the Bullet Club / subsection of the Bullet Club House of Torture.
But if you go off the Chicago show...
Yeah, if you go off the Chicago show, he was kind of over.
Which is interesting saying from Chicago.
Yes.
So, based on this footage, and you talked about it earlier, Perry does not seem the aggressor. Punk is the one who is out of the company. AEW fan, in theory, will want to support Jack Perry after this footage. And for all intents and purposes, I think we all think that, especially with the way the Bucks talked about him and the way they had the shirt, that Perry will probably help them win. So where does Jack Perry sit amongst everything at that point?
I think it will rest on the shoulders of Jack Perry to get his heat back from the AEW crowd if he comes out and helps the Young Bucks. All signs point to that's the way that they're going. You can't really, either that or they kind of go in the other direction. He comes out, makes it look like he's going to help the Bucks, ends up helping FTR, and then he gets into it with the Bucks, which could also be something, because then all of a sudden it's, we had your back and you screwed us like this. And then it's EVPs doing, you know, EVP, best for business, authority figure type crap, which kind of builds Perry back up as a babyface that the crowd will be behind based on, like you say, the reaction he got from Chicago with the NJPW special. Those are the two scenarios that I see.
I guess we're going to have to wait and see.
Only time will tell.
Time will tell.
By about this time next week.
Yeah. I think it'd be another 45 minutes from now.
No. They're not the main event.
Yeah.
No.
Well, okay. I guess we'll know. But
we'll know.
I was going based on talking about it.
Yeah. We'll know.
Yes.
But here we are. All right. But that's our show. Good one. I think Brent feels better about things.
I feel a little bit lighter now.
Do you feel better? You got that off your chest.
I feel a little bit lighter, and like I said, I want them to succeed. I want them to do well. They just need to do things to do.
They
go
need
in that
to get
direction.
They need to get out of their own way. Don't worry about what WWE is doing, Tony. Shit, that's one of the things that killed WCW at the end of the run. Concentrate on your own shit. Quit trying to make yourself look better than anybody and everybody else. And get the fuck out of your way.
Indeed. I think we're done.
Well, in that case, you should tell people about
the programming.
The post-show.
Tomorrow night's Raw post-show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk all things Monday Night Raw. Lindsay's back to host it. Casey filled in last week. Lindsay's back. Tonight, tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern. Thursday, It's the Rack, live, 10 p.m. Eastern. Friday night, it's GM Battles at 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's WTR Game Night. I think we're going to continue playing Uno. Uno's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. Followed by CB Radio live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, featuring the Excalibur Challenge.
I miss Cards Against Humanity.
We cannot play that.
Anyway, there is no WTR Sunday night next week because we're watching an AEW pay-per-view, which means a week from Monday. Following the post-show will be CB Radio Not So Live, live, talking AEW. What's this event called, Brent?
Dynasty.
We're going to talk about AEW Dynasty a week from Monday. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. Click the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop because hashtag epic partner. Tim's on the social media if he's not blocked by people.
Things seem to have calmed down, but I'm still pissed off over something that never should have happened. But you can find me on Flames Forums. And, I'm behaving for the next couple of weeks at least.
Case is on the socials.
You can find me on TwitX and Instagram at Kyle Driver. I do have a couple shows coming up, so maybe I'll get tech savvy and post some clips getting my ass kicked or possibly landing a punch. Who knows? You can also find the link to my merch store on the description of those guys. Go ahead and check it out. I love to tell you that I have new merch dropping, but I don't because I can't draw and I have to figure out designs or collaborate with somebody. But
use
I'm hoping to...
Use AI.
No, I don't want to. I have fantastic artist friends that I would rather give them money to do something for me instead. So
I know a couple. One of them's listening.
I'm going to say so right now. I'm going to try and drop something by the summer. That way, if I put it out in the universe, someone can keep me accountable.
Oh, we never keep you accountable for a damn thing, Cash.
I didn't necessarily mean you guys. I meant like the listeners, the homies.
The homies. Okay.
Right.
You heard them. You heard them, homies. Make them count.
Brent.
Yes, Rock.
Socials.
Yes, you can find me on X, Twitter, Threads, Instagram, at Kane Kittens or at Kane.Kittens. Some kind of amalgamation of that. You can hear me on Saturday. So far, talking about 8 matches that are going to be on Dynasty, although I'm sure there's going to be about 3 or 4 more added to that. And then, you can also be, hashtag team intern who is in first place right now for GM battles.
There you go. We'll see you when we see you all week long. All along the hours of All Talk Random Work. Tim, say goodnight.
That being said, I hope you have a great week, everybody. We won't see you next Sunday night. We'll see you the following. So enjoy the next 2 weeks. That being said, say goodnight, Cash.
Good night, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com